Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
They shouldn't be gathering like that, the younglings. They should be fighting for dominance, not working together.
If you don't understand them, it means there's something about the Gorn we've yet to discover. Maybe instead of finding a way to fight them, we find some way to reach them, or...
Ever the optimist.
Sometimes, hope is a choice.
Yeah, you've told me that one before.
Maybe I'm just saying it because I need to hear it. That's why we're here. On this planet.
Captain Batel is tough, though. I mean, if she can handle you, the Gorn should be a piece of cake.
Are we here?
We're doing it.
Are we here?
We are here. I think one thing that we learned...
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I think one thing that we learned...
That's what I learned.
Among many things, on our previous episode, the 200th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast...
Oh, yeah.
...was that...
this is another week of two podcasts.
Jesse, back in the day, on our very first episode, we were reminded we played a highlight clip from that episode, and Jesse just fucking barreled right into the podcast.
I know, I was ready to go.
Why don't you do that?
I had some facts ready, because I used to prepare more. some outside shit. I used to, like, you know.
Why'd you stop doing that?
Yeah, why'd you stop
doing that? I don't know. I ran out of time.
Fair enough.
Ran out of spare time. I don't know.
You got life complications.
Mm-hmm.
What with bringing new humans into the world.
But I think it was just sort of enough to figure out how to watch the episode, like, more than once in a week and take notes on it.
Fair enough. I was thinking about how last week when I
and if we're just doing new stuff, I'm totally interrupting. If we're doing new episodes, like, you know, like, there's not a lot to, like, read about the episode that other people have, like, written about it, whatever.
Yeah, I generally try not to get internet reactions before the episode, and it's good that Patrick does. It's just that's my perspective of it.
Yes, no, that's how it works.
That's
here.
How we do different things.
That's how it works here.
Different perspectives.
At the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Last
we are three calm hosts that bring something different to the table.
Last week when I was doing the It's My, you know, He's My Number One Dad thing.
Last week or last episode?
Last episode, sorry.
Last episode. This week they're getting two episodes all at once.
Yeah. And so
this is episode 201.
That keeps happening.
And then what I ended up saying was, she's my number one mom, and then I said she's my number one mother, but what I should have said...
That was really weird when you came to...
Oh, yes, that was your in response to Jesse from Crusher Convo requesting a bespoke version. Well, not a version, per se. She just wanted you to do the quote.
What I should have said is, like, something like, she's my number one mom. That sounds better, right?
You know, that does sound better.
It sounds a little better.
I'm glad you've been workshopping that since we recorded
I was up the other night. I was like, why didn't I say that? It was right there.
Wasn't the other night? I mean, we recorded that last night.
Oh, yeah.
Picard's mom was crazy, right?
Yes, that would be a classic Jesse non sequitur.
But she was.
Jesse just, he heard somebody say the word
somebody mom. Said that.
It's like, Mom, Star Trek.
Here's something I know about.
That's what I do. I put words together.
Captain Picard's mom had a debilitating and upsetting mental disorder.
Yeah, we don't use the word crazy much anymore.
I know. I knew that when I said that.
We don't do that, Jesse.
That I was being, you know, not, you know, contemporary. I was going to, you know, I was like, I could have said it nicely, but I said crazy.
But you're like, I'm
she was fucking nuts.
Hey.
Like, this is the Jesse podcast character.
That's
aggressively regressive.
That's cool, baby. You know, it's cool.
Oh, no. Yeah. Calling Jesse baby.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesse babe. Is a baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Take it easy, baby.
Hey, baby.
Take it easy.
All right.
Baby.
All right. Tomfoolery. Jesus. Tomfoolery.
Isn't it? It's a very Star Trek thing to have like a Midwestern planet. It's
oh, yeah.
Like Midwestern.
Oh.
You think they have like a Pacific Northwestern planet, or like a they have like a Virginia planet.
The X-Files often had a
Florida planet.
Pacific Northwest planet.
Well, because they were
they got like a Texas planet.
They filmed in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there were 5,000 people in town. Colony planet of Parnassus Beta.
They got like a France planet.
Hey, do you know what we haven't done? We haven't said what episode we're talking
about. Oh shit. Oh yeah, cares. You're right.
Is the people know because they click
hegemony?
On it. They click on it. Yes, hegemony.
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 The Gorn hegemony.
The Gorn.
Yeah.
Hegemony.
The Gorn hegemony.
The Gorn are really something, man.
Hegemony.
They're not just some like awkward lizards all like blundering about some desert.
Yeah, they've done. I like that they've made them more lizard-like. On the other hand, sometimes the younglings that they call them for whatever reason, they call them the younglings.
The
sometimes
gremlins?
The young
the gremlins.
The gremlins.
The younglings. The Gorn younglings.
You mean the smaller version of raptors from Jurassic Park?
Right. So they're a little awkward from the distance. When they get close up, it's more like alien. When
alien
close,
from aliens.
Yeah, it's
they
like
are
more,
like that. Yeah.
They were, but yeah, from the distance, they're
the
like
alien
a raptor.
From Spaceballs.
I tended to.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
I tended to like...
Hello, my ragtime gal.
I tended to like the adult ones better. The first shot of the first adult was a little cheesy, but that battle with Spock, I thought that was exciting.
That
I
was
mean,
pretty maybe, good, yeah.
I liked it.
Because it's a lizard in a spacesuit.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
It was cool. That was cool.
It's cool to be like, oh, what's a lizard astronaut going to have? It's going to have some kind of wickedly articulated tail armor.
Right.
Yeah.
And a goofy, long-ass...
wickedly articulated.
Face helmet thing. Face and neck helmet. Thing.
That was cool, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if people like the new Gorn or not, but I'm glad they don't go for the old Gorn, because the old Gorn was goofy, too.
Hey,
so
that's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like, I liked how big it was. I liked how when it was floating away, it was all like miserable and dying. And but you got a good. I liked
how it was suffering.
I liked that it was good. Wow. I liked that it was floating by chapel because you got to see the perspective of the different sizes of them. Although that whole space battle, we're jumping right into this, I guess.
I mean, that's what it's all about. Technically, you are jumping
okay,
right into this.
Okay, well, we can talk about that all later.
But I'm fine with that.
We're 80
okay.
in a
No, minute. We can talk about whatever the hell you want to do. This is 201 episodes. We don't kind of do really need to take this seriously anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is not something we really have to
We could talk
pay
about a different episode if you want.
Yeah.
No, I'm just
there's so many episodes.
That's trouble.
There's
dozens
of episodes. The end space
dozens
battle. On the one hand, it was cool, but it's like
you're talking about the hand to hand fighting on the saucer section of the Cayuga.
Yeah, and for some reason, there's some rule that everything has to go super slow in space. And
I don't like the super slow.
I don't
space
like it either because like when the gun got knocked away from Spock's hand,
there's no resistance.
It was yeah,
therefore things will be slower inexplicably.
Yeah, it's called inertia. And like so, when Spock's gun got knocked out of his hand, it was like going all slow and flippy. And the other problem I had was when he used his helmet bashing poker stick. Like, he was going so slow, how would he get up enough force to break through that at the speed he was going? That's why you shouldn't be slow, like...
At the speed of dramatic cinematography.
Exactly. Like, I understand that some of the floaty actions can look a little slower because it's harder to move, but when you're, like, anchored...
Vulcans are super strong.
When you're anchored down to something like he was, what they basically were... Mm. Anyways, if he wasn't, he wouldn't have been able to break through that helmet. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's
it was
true.
It was fun to watch, but it was also just kind of like this whole, like, why does everything have to always be so slow in space?
I presume, now that you mention it, I hadn't considered this previous to this conversation, but now that you've mentioned it, you've made a point, it's triggered an idea in my mind, and that idea is
in
as
my
follows.
Mind.
I presume that it's something to do with the filmic language that... If you show people acting and moving at the speed they would in real life in space, that it would somehow look artificial.
Yeah.
Similar to how in Jurassic Park, at least in the book, I can't remember if it was in the movie, they make a big deal about how they could slow down the dinosaurs. Like, people were saying, like, these dinosaurs aren't acting right, like the audience expects. So they were like, we could genetically engineer them to, like, slow them down and make them look more like the books. I think that's probably part of it. And it does sort of annoy me a little bit.
I mean, and yeah, they did it for a reason, because it looks cool. And it, like, has, like you said, the language of it, the filmic language, as you put it. But at the same time,
takes away some of the drama.
But at the same time, yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, but I'm not asking them to be realistic 100% of the time. But sometimes it's like, come on, you wouldn't fuck, that wouldn't, that's like, you're obviously just trying to make it look cool. I understand you, it wouldn't be believable otherwise, but sometimes that's not enough.
Did you have any other problems with The Simpsons?
I actually really enjoyed it. I liked it. I really liked the episode.
It was exciting,
although,
and interesting.
I wasn't sure why they were on Parnassus Beta, because that was before they knew about the Gorn. So I wasn't clear on what they said they were protecting.
Oh, no. Something. All right. So a couple things we can go over here based off of context
Parnassus
clues.
Beta.
And
pulled that one out of their asses.
So wait, yeah, it says, it's a little complicated down here. Federation membership can protect them, but they also see it as potentially putting a target on their heads. So I don't know.
So
I guess just
here's
to make them cool. So
Parnassus is a human colony. Mm-hmm. But it is not a Federation colony. It's not like a colony where the Federation was like, we are planning to do this in our territory.
Seems to be in Gorn territory.
Well, probably because they're a human territory that did not want to be a part of the Federation for whatever reason when they started, for all sorts of... Because
they were up to shady shit.
Well, perfectly plausible reasons you might not want to be under the jackboots of some giant monstrous bureaucracy, depending on what your perspective is. I like that it was a sort of a Lower Decks idea, in a sense, where it was like, okay, here's this goofy ass town that looks like Iowa or some
Hell
shit.
Yeah.
And it's a colony and they need help because they kind of don't want to be a part of us, but they're also kind of like, we're fucking some shit up.
They need some defense.
We need
a little bit
of help. And I don't think it was purely defensive.
Oh,
I think because they talked about helping with the agricultural stuff.
Yeah.
I think there was some.
Also, there was also
inoculations
and
vaccinations.
Yes. Two different things.
Yeah. Which are two different things, but I know that.
But they're in a similar, they're in the same box.
When I ever hear the word vaccination now, I always think of like anti-vax people or something.
I know,
and I always think were you saying vaccination to be like, yes, they need vaccination. No. Like,
I'm against vaccinations. I'll take all the inoculations you want.
Every time you give someone a vaccination in a show or movie now, are you secretly saying, yes, are you secretly part of the argument saying, yes, you're wrong, anti-vaxxers, or are you just like, of course they need vaccinations. This isn't even part of the argument. You know what I'm saying? Like, are they making a statement by putting that in there?
America's so stupid.
And like, and only,
it's not just America, by the way.
And by statement, I mean, nowadays, it's like there's an implied statement that's automatic because vaccinations bring so much up to everyone's mind already.
The point you make, I think, is a very interesting one because the whole idea of helping an up-and-coming, struggling community with things like agriculture and vaccinations, that's a standard trope. That's a standard trope in the government reaching out, the benevolent government reaching out.
Star Trek,
That's the at least we'll leave aside the debate as to the efficacy and strategic value and all that other stuff. But this is what the USAID does. This is what all sorts of governments do when they're like, we are going to go help and we'll spend money to help these people, maybe out of the goodness of our hearts or for future allyship or for business opportunity, whatever the reasons are. So this is something that, forget about the, this whole vaccination nonsense. It's a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Of course.
But as you note, we now live in a world where who knows exactly, because they're using a fairly standard trope, but it takes on a slightly different flavor in our current world.
You can't talk about vaccinations without some sort of story or imagery or some kind of connection in your brain. Well, I'm going to use my I statements because I can't speak for other people, but it seems like I can't think of vaccinations without thinking about the argument. And
like so politicized.
I am pro vaccinations.
What?
Yeah.
The other thing you can't help thinking about is
now we're going to get a bunch of comments.
Yeah, I know. I just lost the movie.
These pro vax.
The movie Gremlins. And the movie Aliens and the movie Jurassic Park and zombie movies.
zombie movie.
I think it goes without saying that the production value was outstanding this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had no critiques of any of the production value stuff. It's just it's like watching a little movie. Mm-hmm. And it's even felt even more
part of one.
Even more like watching a little movie because they did have these what appear to be references to things like, you know, the raptors running around in Jurassic Park or Alien, or I saw a couple things that look like Gremlins, which is like when the little younglings are kind of nibbling on some bones and stuff. Yeah. That was more of a Gremlins type semi-whimsical thing.
So yeah, when, like I said before, when I saw him from far away, I thought of like Jurassic Park. Up close, I thought of Aliens, but I can see Gremlins up close now. I think
of Gremlins in the medium shot.
Oh, in the medium shot.
Up close, a little bit more Alien in the medium shot. Because they were like kind of dancing around and like grabbing at bodies and like, and then running up to the window doing that whole like, I mean, they weren't laughing, but in my mind.
They were kind
of. They were giggling.
It's so granular of you to think of it that way. I should go look at it back because like I didn't even think about that. But
granular.
Granular.
I'm just not 100% sure how you're applying that.
Because it's like you're thinking, because I was just thinking like Jurassic Park and Alien.
Like,
and you were taking the medium range. Like I was like, whoa, medium range. Medium range.
And media res.
What?
You guys are weird.
Right. So I thought everything was great. The only CGI, like I said, the distance shots of some of the younglings were a little weird. And the first shot of the adult Gorn was a little weird. I liked it when he was coming down the thing. But then the shot when he like whip-tailed, that whole battle, like I thought that was pretty awesome.
Close-ups of the face I thought were really good too, of the Gorn face.
Yeah, they were.
And the sort of the lip pulling back and being all like...
Yeah, I can see why people would be like, oh, they're just making them all lizard-like or whatever. But it's like, to me, I'm like I said before, I don't...
Lizard-like.
The original Gorn weren't exactly, like, yes, they're memorable in our heads as being... There's good nostalgia associated with it, but, like, why would they do that again, you know?
Well, I can report a little bit from the internet, as you alluded to earlier, Dan. You attempt to avoid the internet.
Before the podcast.
Jesse's not entirely aware of the internet. and I get in there and dig around with all those people on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Get in the mud.
The response, I think the response was largely overwhelmingly positive for the episode. I think most people liked it. There were some debates on the Gorn with some people who were, as you kind of were, I think, alluding to, Dan, the Gorn purists.
Yeah.
Were like, this doesn't make any sense. There's no way Kirk could have hand fought one of these adult Gorn, you know, by himself. This totally ludicrous, blah, 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 blah.
Klingons. I mean, I know the difference between new Gorn and old Gorn is greater than the difference between new Klingon and old Klingon, but I guess the new Klingons supposedly can fight just as well as the old Klingon. But my point being is, like, things change in Star Trek over
things
time.
Things change, Mox.
And I guess the question is, did the Gorn change too much? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it's worthy of a robust debate anytime you have
a robot debate.
a character like
robots
this.
Robots debate.
What are some other examples of, or other times we've seen the Gorn? We can go through them. There was the Lower Decks. We saw Rutherford was at a Gorn wedding at one point. They're all nibbling on him.
He was on that bunch, yeah.
We saw a Gorn in Enterprise. In Enterprise, in the mirror, in the into what was there? I forget what they.
I don't even remember that.
You know that two-part episode?
Yeah, there was a bunch of those. Yeah.
No, there's just one. It was like where the entire Enterprise episode takes place in the mirror universe. The entire
You said two-part, and I was like, Enterprise was always all about several-part episodes. Yeah. But yeah, the mirror.
This was the specific two-part. Yeah.
There was an earlier Strange New Worlds. Episode
of course,
dealt with the Gorn.
Yeah, where mostly we saw the younglings.
Yeah,
where the younglings.
Yeah. Right, it was younglings.
So the younglings, Gorn business. The younglings. When you just see the younglings and how they act, and they seem much more wild and you know, sort of animalistic, for lack of a better term. I'm not a fan of that term, but for lack of a better term, I will employ it.
They're not hard to understand, Bob. They're monsters,
Bob. They're monsters. Monsters.
Bob, is that who he called the...
Robert April, Admiral April.
Oh, he calls him
Bob.
Bobby April.
Right.
But if you're just looking at those younglings, I understand you're like, okay, that's like way different than what we get with Kirk. It's like a total departure.
Yeah, it is.
I think we discussed this at the end
of the... I'm more of a fan of the adult Gorn.
Well, at the end of the first... There's a couple things that we discussed at the end of last season when there was more Gorn stuff, right?
You know, that was like all Alien.
where I think we came to two conclusions. And again, I should use my I statements. Thank you, Dan.
Mm-hmm. I learned that. It's a cognitive therapy approach.
All right. Well, I'm going to try it out.
I'm sure they do it in a lot of places.
I think I'm super rad. Mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty cool. I think things I say are right by default.
You know how you say you're rad, but you're really not? That's like not using my I statement.
I'm a rad dad. Are you a rad dad, Jesse?
I am.
I'm not.
How did you know?
You're a rad cat dad, Dan.
Oh, man.
You're a cat dad.
Cat dad's
dad. Rule.
Is that a sad dad?
No.
I don't know.
You know it's a sad dad?
It means you get a card on Father's
a dad
Day.
Dad with no cats. If you got no cats, that's a sad time. Mm-hmm. We all got a boatload of cats.
Unless you don't like cats.
I used to be a cat dad.
You still are a cat dad.
Yeah, but now I'm like a real dad.
It's true. It's funny because it's true.
You never stop being a cat dad. What I was saying was that when we last discussed the Gorn when talking about season one of Strange mm-hmm. New Worlds, I think one thing we figured was that given all the context of Strange New Worlds, going for the more old school Star Trek stories, going for the more hopeful stuff, we were like, it doesn't really make sense for them ultimately to have the Gorn be some like super monstrous, terrible things. And I still believe that. I don't think that's what's going to end up happening. I think there are so many clues that are like saying, like, you're watching Star Trek. We're going to put things in front of your face that are going to trick you. They're going to lead you down the direction of like, oh, the Gorn are terrible, but we're still going to ultimately end this in a proper old school, happy Star Trek way. Because like in this episode, Pike is all like calling them. He's like, they're monsters. They're fucking monsters. Look at them. They look like monsters.
They're not hard to understand, Bob. They're monsters.
Exactly. They're monsters. And
he doesn't say it like that.
And the Kirk guy's like, we got to check them out so we can figure out how to kill them.
Yeah. He's all like, we're going to shoot them in the face. I want to study them because I'm a xenoanthropologist. I'm going to shoot these people in the face.
Yeah.
To me, it's saying that all of this has been to set up both to get us closer to the Gorn of Kirk's era, maybe not exactly the same, but in this episode, I think when you see that Gorn floating around, you're like, that's intelligent.
Yeah.
That's like an intelligent creature. He's all fiddling around trying to hack into the system.
Yeah.
And
he's
got a spacesuit on, right? You know, because you see there's
you
ships,
know
but they're from
they're
far
civilized
away.
When they have a spacesuit.
If they've got
on.
A spacesuit and like a uniform,
they're not
type
some
thing,
kind of Gormagander.
Gormagander.
Gornagander.
I'm Gorn again.
Are you going to gander at some Gorn?
What?
What? Gorn, are you going to gander at some Gorn porn?
Zombie movie.
Corn again.
But I still firmly believe, I think there's enough clues here where, you know, there's even a point where Pike is like, I don't know, maybe we got to figure out some way to reach them. I think ultimately they're going to realize these are thinking creatures.
Well, between Pike and April,
that's going to be the resolution.
Their first, Pike and April's conversation, Pike's like, they're monsters, Bob. And April goes, monster is a word to describe those who don't understand us, which is a good point. And actually later on when Lon's like, they usually fight for dominance, talking about the babies, they usually fight for dominance, but they didn't this time. And then Pike even says, maybe they're actually like cool dudes or whatever, you know, or something to that effect.
I mean, that's a paraphrase.
But yeah, it is.
I mean, he was saying basically, okay, we clearly don't understand them as well as we maybe
thought we
had.
But these Gorn episodes in SNW.
SNW, that's short for Strange New Worlds.
More syllables, less letters.
I have that too. That checks out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it does. But they present these episodes like they're monster movies. So it's like we're supposed to think of them as monsters because that's how they always present them, as these suspenseful, like
monster.
Scary, thrilling monster type like battles, like Alien,
But that's where the gag gets even better, where you leverage the tropes of zombie, dinosaur, monster movies,
zombie movie,
and then ultimately. The conclusion does not have to be peace. The conclusion does not have to be like shaking hands and hugging and being like, we love each other. But the conclusion being that it does fundamentally come down to a communications problem. They have not, because of lack of opportunity, lack of interest, whatever it is both sides are not like kind of understanding each other, and they'll figure out, okay, these people are not some dumbasses. We got to treat them as if they're other intelligent beings.
It's similar to the conversation we were having a few episodes back and then a few before that about the concept of evil, you know.
Yes,
it's like,
yeah,
it's like evil, you're just putting a label on something and making it non, it's dehumanizing.
This is a parallel by saying they're animals. Yeah, because so evil is often applied to, okay, you have an intelligence who's doing fucked up shit, they're evil, and our argument was that the problem with that adjective is that it potentially can take the agency away from the person, and not only makes it easier to destroy that person and their allies and hate them potentially in a way that causes more problems,
because maybe they are total pieces of shit, but maybe they're not. You just don't get
it. But it's also in a way taking their guilt away in a sense by saying like they have no choice. A parallel to that is by calling things animals or monsters or whatever. You know, it's a similar thing. Maybe it's not evil in a genocide kind of way, but it's evil in a you're eating up all my people, you know, because you hunt them kind of thing.
I was just thinking when I was like, maybe they are pieces of shit, but you know, that's just the same as calling them monsters. So I shouldn't even say that. Maybe they aren't favorable to what you like to, maybe how you like to live your life, but maybe they are.
That's maybe we're the monsters.
Maybe we're the monsters.
Maybe we're the monsters.
Yeah. If you want to think of things as monsters,
I am legend.
Consider that you might be the monster. I might be the monster.
It might be. The fingers legend. Are pointing back at you.
Not the movie, the book. You know, the I am legend.
Speaking of Will Smith, there was an
Welcome to Earth.
Yes, welcome to Earth. When the Gorn ship appeared, that was had some ID4 vibes. Independence Day.
I thought you meant the Volkswagen ID4, which is the electrical vehicle that I happen to drive.
Because it was like a really big ship that all came all
through the clouds, all like. And so
it was even bigger. It was like weird.
Oh well, and there was Scotty's ship first. We haven't talked about Scotty yet. Scotty's shuttlecraft. They're like, what the fuck is that shuttlecraft? Yeah. That turns out that was Scotty.
The one with all the smoke coming by.
That reminded me
of Wizard of Oz, like the Wicked Witch of the West flying on her broom and all the smoke's coming. I don't know if they meant to do that, but to me, I kept thinking like that looks.
This
like
episode is full of illusions.
Full of them.
Full of illusions.
All over the place.
And you know how they create some of those illusions?
With special effects.
I was going to say with illusions.
Oh shit.
But yes, special effects are a form of illusion.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the same zow.
I can't tell
it.
Jesse might be mad at me for that.
Oh
good, he just wasn't paying attention.
No, I had a bit of gas. I didn't want to burp in the microphone.
Okay, I was like, oh man, is Jesse pissed off at me for making the illusion humor?
Were you mad at me when I said number one mother? Did that make you mad?
No.
Made you uncomfortable.
A little bit.
How come? I'm just curious.
I don't know.
Because it kind of made me uncomfortable a little when I said it.
Weird.
It was kind of weird, wasn't it? I feel a little weird.
It was
about
just unprecedented.
Yeah. I should have said number one mom. Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, I shouldn't obsess about things that.
Anyway. Independence Day, Wizard of Oz, Alien, Jurassic Park, Gremlins, Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Only by association, only by proxy with Gremlins 1.
Gremlins 2 is pretty good. It's a very different movie.
Oh, yeah, it's great, but I would say...
It's very good.
But, I mean, you wouldn't say, like, this is, like, any, like, Gremlins 2 in a way that it isn't like Gremlins 1. It's just by, like the franchise in general, I'd say. We're talking about this episode. You said this episode is like Gremlins 1 and Gremlins 2, but I'm just saying, like, the way it's the same as the Gremlins has no difference bearing on... It has no difference whether it's the first one or the second one. It's just like Gremlins.
The fact is, we've only seen one part. This is a to-be-continued.
Okay.
Cliffhanger.
Fair enough.
So... I should say
it's what like old school Star Trek.
What I'm allowing for is that in this episode we had the Gremlins, old the first TNG. Gremlins feel. I believe it was 1984, where you have mischievous, horrifying creatures scuttling about town, nibbling on people, tearing wires out. Mm-hmm. That's what we got in this
nibbling.
Episode. It is quite possible, and one might even argue likely, that in the to be continued part, as I said, this is going to end. I predict this is going to end in some sort of, maybe not kumbaya moment, mm-hmm. but some sort of moment of like, oh, these are real, real intelligent creatures. We're going to meet the intelligent Gorn that wears glasses and has
Gorn
a watch.
Brain.
We're going to meet the lady gremlin that's got big lips.
Okay, fair enough.
We're going to, not the lady Gorn, we're going to meet the spider Gorn that scuttles
spider
about
Gorn.
On spiders.
What about the electro Gorn?
The electro Gorn will be there.
Will Hulk Hogan be there too?
I'm not 100% sure if Hulk Hogan will be there, but maybe one of his descendants.
Okay, one of his descendants.
Oh, yeah,
one
right.
of the
unless they put maybe Hulk Hogan in stasis during the eugenics wars. Hulk Hogan was put into stasis along with Khan.
Maybe it was just Hulk Hogan's head.
Well, we're going to find out what the Gorn have going for us next episode.
What they have Gorn for us?
Yeah.
But not till like next year or something.
They look like space garbage.
Maybe that's what the Gorn look like. Space garbage.
That's what your face looks like.
Oh, fuck. Oh, man.
Okay. How about this is a good spot for us to take a quick break.
Attitude adjustments.
I like how she says that.
Attitude adjustments.
We'll take a quick break.
That's like a beat right there.
Well, you've been, haven't you been saving up the clips that you said sound like beats?
I didn't mark this as a beat, although I should have.
Attitude adjustments. Attitude adjustments. Attitude adjustments.
You should do some more.
That's pretty good.
Attitude adjustments.
Dan will play around with that and come back with a new homework assignment. Okay, well, we'll take a break, and when we get back, we'll talk about Rule 34 Gorn porn. Be right back.
Whoa.
Okay, we're back.
For Gorn porn.
Did you say for Gorn? We're back for Gorn porn.
We're back for Gorn porn. And for Loco.
Forlorn porn.
Wait. All right, so Dan's into Gorn porn, and Jesse's into forlorn porn.
Oh, no.
That doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound good, Jesse. It's not a good look.
I'm totally going to do a search for that later.
Forlorn porn?
Forlorn porn.
No. Oh, no. Don't do it.
Well, I will risk sadness in the process. I'm a curious soul, and I'm cursed with an insatiable curiosity about all
manner
of topics.
What about Gorn corn?
What about Gorn?
Gorn corn?
What about Gorn?
What about Gorn? Is that like a What About Bob joke?
Yeah. You know any good like What About Bob references?
Yeah, I love What About Bob.
I mean, you always have some good reference. You got any now?
Yeah. No. My favorite line.
I want to know.
My favorite quote from What About Bob is New Hampshire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
That part when they're he fakes his death to find out where his doctor, where his psychiatrist is.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, if you haven't seen What About Bob, you got to load up whatever device you can and get What About Bob, because that is a fantastic movie.
When was that made? Early 90s?
Yeah, it was like 93 or something like that.
It had the music of... It had your like standard comedy style music. Like, it was just... Yeah. Like, I like the Ghostbusters music. The What About Bob music was a little weird to me. Yeah. It wasn't bad.
Oh, no, no.
But the movie's great. The music was like just kind of jarring in a way.
So,
somehow.
The thing about... I think the same person who did the music for What About Bob did the music for... what was that movie with the reporter and...
Teenage Ninja Turtles.
Yes, exactly. Bring April O'Neil and all the on the scene.
Aaron Brockovich.
No, To Die For. Oh. The movie To Die For. I think it's the same.
Same
producers.
With Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, with Nicole Kidman and with.
I got my something on the evening news.
Okay. My point being that.
She did that dance in front of the.
What About Bob is advertised and presented as if it's a comedy. Mm-hmm. But I've watched What About Bob perhaps 300 or 400 times. It's a great movie.
What About Bob?
It's a good movie.
And you eventually figure out. I find it. I'm a Groundhog Day guy too. I like Groundhog Day, but I think What About Bob is way more interesting than Groundhog Day, particularly when you've watched it enough times that you realize it is not a comedy. It's actually it's filmed like a horror movie.
It kind of is.
The Bob character just won't go away, and it's like a psychopathic horror movie.
Yeah.
Ruins the psychiatrist's life. But yes, he faces death.
I certainly feel the same way.
To find out where the psychiatrist is staying on vacation, and he finds out the psychiatrist is staying at Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire, and then Bill Murray says he slaps himself on the forehead and he says, "New Hampshire."
Yep,
it's a great line.
Yep,
I mean, there's a number of other lines.
Here.
I'm sailing.
Yeah,
look at me.
Yeah,
when you see the movie, you'll get why that's funny.
Mm-hmm. You will,
yeah,
because it doesn't make much sense out of context. But
death therapy, Bob, it's a guaranteed cure.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of sounds, you want to hear a Gorn growl?
I do.
Doesn't it sound like a mix between an upset tummy or a problematic toilet or something like that?
Problematic toilet.
Yeah. Or garbage disposal.
Or Gormagander.
Yeah, yeah,
like it sounds like a Gormagander fart.
A Gormagander fart.
Well, thank you, Dan. Thank you for bringing that sound. I liked it.
Yeah,
it did
too.
Make me think of flatulence and gas.
It was bubbly.
I think you were right on with the Jesse with the garbage disposal. I think that does kind of sound like a garbage disposal. I was thinking a nasty toilet, but that's better imagery that you have.
But they're both pretty gross.
That toilet is nasty.
Sucks when you leave shit in the sink too long and starts smelling like some rotting, horrible stuff. I try not to let that happen.
I was going to say, there's one way to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I know.
It sucks when this happens to me.
I just don't know what to do about it.
It's just like, why does this keep happening?
Oh, come on.
That's a lot of ovals.
Okay. Gorn porn. Gorn porn.
Is this supposed to be?
I only bring this up. I'm sure there's gorn porn out there. I will not admit to having found any of it.
That means you found it.
No. I will not stipulate to that fact. Haven't done any Rule 34 gorn searches. I'm not stating that I haven't. I'm not saying that. Yes, gorn porn is fun to say, but partly the reason why I brought it up was because on our previous episode, our 200th episode special, specialtacular, one of the old highlight clips we played was one in which Dan over here.
That's you.
It's me.
And he sits across from Jesse.
At one part of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, I think it's Michelangelo. He goes, "That's me." Because they're talking about like.
Yeah, that's a good line, too.
That's me. And the other part, the one that he's like, "Splinter."
Yeah, that's a good
line. And then Raphael's like, "Splinter."
I like my favorite line from TMNT where he's all like, "Damn."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like when Raphael.
Damn. Yeah. You're like, whoa, I'm a kid and that's this kind of movie.
I didn't know turtles could say that kind of shit.
Yeah.
No, but last episode, Dan wasn't talking about it last episode, but the highlight we played, Dan was talking about having a purely artistic, biological interest in nude Cardassians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It seems like
not for purposes of sexual entertainment.
Just the beauty
just
of
sort
it.
Of anatomical wonderment.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. I want to know what a nude Cardassian looks like.
Yes.
Who doesn't?
I'm right there with you, buddy. I'm right there with you.
Just haven't thought about it as much as I have,
just
maybe.
could not have articulated it as well as you did. But anyway, playing that clip reminded me that you had mentioned that. And so I thought, even though it is not, the Gorn are not analogous in the form we've seen, the Gorn form that we've seen is not analogous to Cardassians, which we've seen much more of and understand much better, at least in the forms. We've seen an adult Gorn in a spacesuit now. But I wanted to know, did that trigger in you any interest in Gorn porn or Gorn nudity, or are Gorn as displayed sufficiently sort of alien and reptilian enough that it doesn't quite do it for you?
It didn't put it in my head as much as.
Why are you asking this question?
Because it's an intelligent question.
I want to know, and he's more likely to answer it on the podcast than off.
I would say that with the Gorn porn, it didn't strike me the way in the Cardassians did, because the Cardassians, they don't show you what's underneath. With the Gorn, you can kind of imagine, because like the way it moves and the form it takes, and you can just kind of
lizard.
You can exactly, precisely. But so, with the Cardassians, like I want to, they're humanoid.
How far does the spoon go?
Yeah, how far does
that spoon go all the way down?
Yeah. Shit, man.
The best part about that is like it obviously doesn't.
Obviously.
Well, the Cardassians, maybe they have like spoon things on like their genitals.
Look, I'm not saying that if you were gonna show me Gorn porn, I'd be like, no, I don't care about that. I'd look at it, but I think I'm more interested in nude Cardassians and nude Gorn.
And that makes perfect sense to me. I think it didn't
pop into my head the way it did with Cardassians.
And frankly, I expected that was probably the case, but I wanted to confirm it with you here on the podcast tonight. However, how about I ask you a different question?
Yes.
What, presuming you were in a position to see a nude Gorn, what would there have to be for it to surprise you? For it to be, to elevate it from, it wasn't what I assumed based on what you've seen.
Like humanoid genitals, that would surprise me. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me because it's the internet, but so.
So you just mean like just a straight up penis, vagina,
sort of.
If
they were going to do some Gorn,
would it be pink?
Getting this area, but
would it be pink?
Oh man, I don't want.
There's all sorts of. You know, we're all
pink. I think
on the
I would
inside.
Be more surprised if the internet had some like sexual Gorn porn that didn't involve humanoid genitalia. Sexual. If they came up with some
cloaca
new,
business,
yeah, some other kind of business, yeah,
lizard holes.
That would surprise me. I don't know if that really answered the spirit of your question, but like,
no, I think it did. Yeah. I think it did. Yeah. All right.
That was more of a question about how I expect it to be represented by others than how I would expect it to look in my head. In my head, I wouldn't think they'd have
You just think it's like a gecko, smooth yellow.
That's
belly.
What I would think in my head, but I'd be surprised if the internet saw it that way.
All right. Well, we'll do some research on this topic, and we'll get back to the audience.
It would get a mature rating for smoking, sexual situations, and lizard holes.
Yeah. Jesse, don't worry.
B'Elanna's on it.
That's right.
All right.
You know, Spock was on it in this episode. He was like, I'm on it.
Well, yeah. Spock was the dude in this episode, man. He was the person.
He was the Vulcan.
He was the Vulcan.
He was the half Vulcan, half human, son of the ambassador, Sarek. This was an area of the internet where people had some problems with the story.
Okay, before we get into that, but still on the subject of Spock, when he was like,
no human can do this.
Yeah.
I, however, can.
That's totally like a TOS thing, though, right? Because like Spock, I mean, didn't that happen in Star Trek IV? Like basically, wasn't the idea they needed Spock to do the calculations on the fly?
Yes.
So like, I don't know why Spock's more powerful than a mega future supercomputer, but that's like been around at least forever. I don't know if the internet had a problem with that.
It wasn't that he was more powerful. I think it was something about the Klingon, whatever. It just wasn't up to the task. I can't remember.
Oh.
But yes, I agree with you that Spock has frequently just outright stated, like, I'm going to be stronger or faster or my brain will work better, or my blood isn't infected by the weird disease or whatever.
Like he's got that green blood.
He's got that green copper blood. So this is not anything new. I think where it's the difference that I believe caused some people some issue was that in this instance, it seemed to be framed more around Spock is desperate to have a hands-on part in trying to rescue Nurse Chapel, who everyone else thinks is dead.
Right. Una was just straight up like, she's dead, dude. But Una was wrong.
She was, but like...
Wrong again.
And Una never said it outright, but it was all about a probability sort of thing.
Right. Well, I mean, one of the problems is like everyone in movies and shows, they're always all bummed out about the last thing they said to their dead loved ones, you know, all the time. They're always just like, oh, I said this to them, you know? And I understand that.
Yeah,
and
it's just human
nature. That's a real life thing to have, but that's always... Spock was like one of those people again, you know?
It's like,
one of those humans.
It just kind of gets a little cliched after a while, I think. And to have Spock involved with it is a little weird.
I think that's where some people had some issues. One of them being that, first of all, a lot of people said like Spock saying he's the only one who could do it is ridiculous. And I think that they were saying that in the context of in other episodes, it was, he was immune to a disease or he had supercomputing power or whatever. Mm-hmm. In this one, when you actually see what he's doing, it just looks like he's placing some shit. It doesn't look like it's super complicated.
No, in this instance, I was thinking...
He was floating through space.
Yeah, he sure was. Sure was.
He's like anybody could have done that.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like some kind of tricky maneuver. He just floated over to the ship.
Floated, yeah. I actually have more on that in a second.
I was just laughing because it just it sounded like you were placating a 5-year-old.
I know.
You're like, yes, Jesse.
Like, wait a minute.
Oh, yes. No, Spock was flying through space.
He was trying to hold me back because he has material.
All I was going to say is that during this episode, I was thinking the whole time, like, there's nothing he's doing that, like, why couldn't a computer perform any task that he's, like, trying to fucking do in this situation? So it was weak, but the line was, like, at first when he said the line, I was like, but then I was like, you know, Spock is like that, but yes, in this episode, they didn't seem to present any scenario that required specifically Spock.
And some people suggested, and I think there's a perfectly reasonable suggestion, that Spock was just sort of asserting that because he's desperate to get involved and he wants to do this, and all the other crew people were like, obviously he's not the only person that can do it, but why not? He's volunteering, he's motivated, he's invested because of this whole Nurse Chapel stuff. So that's a way to look at it. Mm-hmm. To me, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
I think part of what made it a little this storyline, it worked, and in the end it worked out, I think, very well, because they didn't make the mistake of stretching it out. Because I think where I was having a little trouble with it was that classic prequel issue, which is we know neither of these people is going to die. Mm-hmm. And you can still have tension with that fact, right? So you can that can still be done. And I think as a good example of where I thought they did it well was with Dr. Mbenga and Ortegas, when they were kind of talking about like, ooh, it's not so great that the saucer section's all explodey, Bodhi, and all that. The way they did it, like the tension worked because it doesn't matter that the audience knows Nurse Chapel's coming back later. Mm-hmm. You understand, you're like, oh, in this moment, an added burden to them is they feel that they may have lost their friend.
Yeah.
But it's not like a thing.
And Ortega's was all like doing an impression of Chapel, and Omega's like, that's a good impression. But cute. But then she was like, well, she does a better one of me, kind of indicating like, I'm not ribbing her or giving her shit. I'm just like, this is, you know, we're...
It was a cute moment.
She wasn't making fun. She was making love, basically.
Yes. And in the Spock Chapel stuff, it was a little bit more like the cinematic language is a little bit more like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
And the thing that made it okay for me in the end was that they didn't drag it out. It was just Spock went over there fairly quickly. They find each other. It wasn't like a whole like, oh, because they did that thing, which I thought was one of the most powerful.
How are you not dead?
Yeah. One of the most powerful shots in this whole episode. Mm-hmm. And really one of the coolest Star Trek shots I think I've seen in a while is Nurse Chapel looking out the window and seeing the Enterprise out there and being both like hopeful and like, oh fuck, how do I signal them? That was great.
That was cool. And I love that the ship's floating and you're like, is that a billion miles away? Is it like right next to him? It's somewhere in between. I can't really tell, but it's just looming there. And it was a really cool shot. The other shot, I don't know how people felt, but I really liked when it was crashing, when the saucer crashing. That was really cinematic. That was I thought that was like really well done.
Extremely well done.
Like it really felt cinematic when they did that. My only problem,
and when it crashed into the tower was great too.
When it crashed into the tower?
Yeah.
I think I missed that.
No, it's the whole point of the thing. Was they crashed it into the tower to bring down the thing.
I know they did that, but I'm totally blanking on the actual scene where they show it.
Well, they're in Scotty's crash shuttle trying to recover it for parts, and Pike and Captain Batel are chatting, and she didn't get eaten by the monster. And, and then, they're having this moment. Oh, yeah. And then Scotty's all like, you should look out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And then you just see the fucking saucer section just go like, bam, right into it. That looked badass as well.
Red super giant.
But with the Spock stuff, Spock and Chapel stuff, it was bordering. It was getting a little bit like, okay, I'm not feeling the tension because I know you guys both survived this. And this is not set up to be one of those like, oh, we know the end, but how? It wasn't a Columbo thing where it's like, well, how are they going to solve the problem?
Last episode,
because they just fought a monster.
Well, last episode, we were talking about that. Somebody asked the question. I don't remember who about. Should you watch things in broadcast order or chronological? Would be a curious moment to see.
I think that was Luis from Peru.
Ah, Luis. Thank you, Luis. This would be a good time. This would be an interesting moment for like people who would watch it in chronological order if that was effective for them. Although I'm not that curious. I would kind
of. You mean
like
the crashing of the saucer section?
Like,
it evokes things like Star Trek III.
Well, like if you watch in chronological order, not knowing what's going to happen to Spock and Chapel, if like you have no idea.
Well, yeah, but and there's an argument to be made that when you're doing a prequel, that's one way to pursue it. Would be like assume no one has seen the rest. But on the other hand, there's so many Easter eggs and stuff like that. I think you gotta, when it comes to something like Star Trek, Star Wars, etc., you kind of have to cater to both audiences.
Well, you
kind of,
it's like less about what happens and more about, for the prequel, it worked better, I think, when it's less about what happens, more about like how did they get to that
precisely
point,
it's a nuanced thing, and maybe, who knows, maybe I'm being an asshole about it or whatever. I'm just saying I enjoyed it. I'm coming from the perspective where I didn't hate it. Like, some people really didn't like this. They were like, oh, this had prequelitis because there's no tension at all. I didn't think there was no tension at all. It was just, I think they were using language choices in that particular storyline that were kind of more along the lines of like, what's going to happen to them, as opposed to how are they going to solve this issue? And partly because, again, like I said, they're solving the issue was just, oh, they fought a Gorn and then they escaped. It wasn't some sort of intellectual, like solving some puzzle or trapping the Gorn in some clever way.
But the ingredients for like they did a good job with the ingredients for like cinematic moments.
Yes, all that part. And the holding hand, I like the holding hands bit. The other thing that I thought was great was when they beamed back onto the Enterprise, Chapel does the thing that I always get annoyed when people don't do it, which is when they're beamed in from being floating in space, she stumbles a little bit. Spock doesn't so much, but she does, because you know what makes sense? If you're floating in space and then all of a sudden you're in a gravity thing, you're going to be like, whoa!
Yeah,
in an instant, right?
You're like, what?
So that I wonder if that was a director thing or if she thought that herself, Jess Bush.
As an aside, I was thinking about when we first saw her.
Side of aioli.
Side of what?
Side of
aioli.
Side of D's. Some Fromunda.
Do you think Anoli's like aioli?
Side of D's with Fromunda.
An Anoli is like a Gorn. Okay, no, I said, Jesse, last time, we said we were getting better at this, and we're totally not.
No.
You're not gone.
You're not gone.
I was saying that at the first shot we see her get beamed away, I watched it like five times because there's something about the effect. It like made her all, it was cool. I don't know what
you
it
mean
was.
When she's in the town?
When she's in the town.
I agree.
There's something about it. I kept watching it. I was like, there's something crazy too. Going on.
That's
here.
Weird.
Yeah.
What's weird about
something
that?
Something got all smudged, but it looked cool. You know.
Maybe it was just the background of the town because it's fun when you see Star Trek stuff in an otherwise nondescript thing. And we're seeing it now in 4K. Dolby Vision HDR.
That's right.
As opposed to just very nice high definition transfer from the old standing sets in the Desilu Studios.
I think also when they transported later, to me, when they transported off the planet at the end, like the transporter had a tinge of green, and then when they're in the ship, it was like yellow. I don't know if that was all in my head or not.
Maybe there's a Gorn business going on.
You're not gone.
Jesse, when you were talking earlier about Spock floating through space, that I was also thinking about the moment when they left the ship and watched the saucer crash into the thing. Mm. By the way, that music, that's the Spock music, Spock and Chapel music.
Spock walking on the ship and then like that crazy like synth music.
Magnify Cayuga's saucer.
This whole
sick bay is
that music.
Gone.
Are you listening?
I just played a small, but that it played that little, what do you call that? That
motif?
Motif, I guess.
Is it a motif? Is it a light motif?
Light motif.
They did that at the beginning and they did it at the end, the longer version. Mm. I actually have that sound, but we don't have to play it. It's like 20 seconds. But but when it's just crashing, they played that music and I thought that was a pretty cool music part.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
But
I was thinking of the different music part, which you may not have. It was a very brief moment, which was when Spock was on the outside of the Cayuga saucer, and he was attaching he's opening the box. It was playing some Star Trek-y music, typical Star Trek theme, except it was using some sort of like distortioned out future synth. Rock and roll synth kind of thing going on. Mm-hmm. And
there was a couple of things.
It was cool. I enjoyed it. It was some very aggressive music. Well, there was a lot of aggressive music in this episode.
Well, speaking of Star Trek sounding music, at the very beginning, this part.
Yeah. It was like Deep Space Nine style.
Yeah.
Yeah. The opening scene was like, oh, we're watching a Deep Space Nine episode.
Captain's log.
Yeah, that was like precise. It's like lifted directly
horns.
From Yeah,
a billowing.
The only difference was is they used slow motion with the kids in the playground. If it was a TNG or Deep Space Nine, they would have showed the kids in the playground, except it would have been slow motion.
Yeah, there's more slow motion.
It just would have been panning across kids playing in the playground.
Ever since the movie 300, there's been a lot more slow motion.
That's the slow motion plus fast motion.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
As opposed to just
slow
motion.
You're right, there is a nuanced difference. You're absolutely right. But Jesse, back to what you were saying about Spock floating through space, when they floated off the saucer as it was crashing, in my head I was wondering, are those jetpacks they have? Because I don't think
they gotta be jetpacks.
There's no way they would float off that saucer and watch it.
No, they would have the same momentum with
it. Exactly, precisely. But the jetpacks didn't put off any kind of like there was no like propulsion, so we can only assume it's some kind of antimatter.
I think they just spent all their money on the other effects, so they couldn't they couldn't afford the little hydrazine jet effect.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of cool effects in the show. So yeah, that was one part I was a little confused about. I wasn't quite sure what to make of that jetpack situation because it had to have been a jetpack. There was no other explanation.
There's no way they could have gotten out of there.
No way, bro. They would have just gone down with the ship.
Bro.
No way, bro. Oh, when they were going to the ship after it was broken apart, that reminded me of a Star Destroyer, like in Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Like when they first show Chapel.
That's the other franchise.
Yeah,
there's two franchises.
Gremlins and Star
Darth Vader.
Star Trek and Star Wars.
Oh yeah, that's the other
franchise. Gremlins is not its own franchise. It's a subset of Star Trek.
Okay, right. So you shouldn't really mention
what
Star
Wars.
What
about Bob is a subset of Star Trek?
Shouldn't mention Star Wars when you mention... Yeah. Look,
Groundhog Day is a subset of Star Wars.
What about That 70s Show?
I'm not familiar with that show.
But when they were zooming...
I'm familiar with the show. I'm not stupid.
When they were zooming in on zooming in on Chapel and they showed the saucer all broken up and they had the sides, they showed all the decks. It was all cool. But it reminded me of a Star Destroyer all broken up. Like, I think there was a Star Wars scene where there was a broken Star Destroyer or something. I'm not saying they were imitating Star Wars because that's just how it would look. But it just reminded me of it for some reason. But it was a cool shot. What about Jesse?
Seinfeld.
All right.
That wee box right
there. Doesn't matter.
So that was Spock Chapel.
Oh, speaking of beats, listen to his sigh at the end.
That wee box right there.
That could be like a cymbal noise.
That wee box
like
right there.
Like a hi-hat.
Yeah. Anyways,
you're describing great ideas. You should be doing these great ideas.
Oh my gosh.
Why are you doing it?
Coming back to us with those great ideas.
I know.
Put them in a keyboard.
I know. It's annoying when someone's like, oh, wouldn't it be a great idea if we did this, this, and then you never do it? It's like, yeah, I guess it would be a good idea, but we'll never know.
Yeah, but
it'd
be great if I could.
Ideas are only part of the product. You have to make
it. It's not annoying until it doesn't happen. So you can avoid the annoyed. You can avoid the annoyed.
But by the time it officially doesn't happen, I'll be dead and I won't know it anyway. So,
I mean, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Scotty.
Dude, I knew it was Scotty as soon as he said his name was Montgomery Scott. I was like, that's Scotty.
I knew he was Scotty as soon as he started talking.
Yeah. It's like, I knew it. No, I know it. At that point, I didn't knew it. I knew it for the first time.
Trap set for
him. I was like that. I bet that's Scotty.
When I heard a guy with a Scottish accent who had set a jerry-rigged trap, is when I thought it was Scotty.
That was when I thought it was too.
And he was wearing a red shirt like Scotty likes to wear.
Yeah. Well, I figured out how to hide in plain sight.
Now, what did you think about this? There are multiple layers here. Uh-oh. Layer number one:
red supergiant.
Is what did you think about just the concept of adding yet another legacy character to this television program who will presumably not be a one-off? Who knows? Maybe he's only in the story and he goes away. But if our experience with young James T. Kirk is any experience, we might be seeing more and more of Scotty.
I always wonder if like maybe they should keep like waiting to introduce these characters, you know? They're rushing into it because how many seasons of this show are they going to do?
Well,
they'll probably do like, you know, three or four. Like,
I mean, you never know now. So maybe they feel pressure to like hook people in. I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with Scotty.
No, I didn't either.
The thing about Scotty is that like,
I don't ever have a problem with Scotty.
Yeah. The thing about the playing the role of Scotty that I thought he did a good enough job is like, he wasn't imitating like some character. The problem with the character of Kirk is how are you Kirk without trying to do an impression of Kirk? You know, Scotty's just like this jovial guy.
He was being Scotty. He wasn't being James Doohan.
Right. Yeah. And so, but I'm saying it's easier not to. Kirk is such a unique character. Scotty's a very unique character, but Kirk is such a unique character that it's hard to do a Kirk without sounding like you're doing an impression of Kirk. Like
right,
I said,
right,
Scotty,
right.
The way the guy pulled it off was like he was just this jovial kind of engineer guy.
Right.
And so it didn't feel like he was doing an imitation. So it worked fine for me. I didn't know how necessary it was, but like I didn't have a specific problem with it.
I think the way he pulled it off,
yeah.
Because that's question number one is what's the deal with having the character of Scotty? Question number two is, how well portrayed was the character of Scotty? The fella, the actor's name is Quinn something. Is it Martin Quinn?
Something Quinn.
Mm-hmm. I did think he did a great job. I think for the reasons you cited, Dan, I can't remember you cited any reasons.
Yeah, Martin
Jesse.
Quinn.
For me,
I never give any reasons. I just do. and do some more.
God bless you.
Without reason.
But there's that scene. For me, it was cute. And I wasn't the only one who caught this. Other people on the internet caught this as well. There's a scene towards the end where he's gathered all his stuff and, you know, he's on the, you know, it's when he meets Pelia and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's all good. We can talk about that in a second.
Hello, Scotty.
But the fact that the way he was holding all his equipment, to me mimicked how he's holding all the tribbles in the Trouble with Tribbles.
I didn't even think about
where
that.
He's all like got too many tribbles and he's like, they've gotten into the engineering,
too
you
many.
Know?
Oh, man.
And I think that must have been on purpose. They must have been like, this is a little character flavor we can add to this fellow. I thought that the way they designed the character is great. He is a miracle worker already. He's saving his own ass, jerry-rigging stuff in the shuttle, finding a way to hide from the Gorn, landing a damaged ship, setting traps.
Well, I figured out how to hide in plain sight.
All that stuff I thought was
sort of cool. He was on some like no-name ship that just crashed and like, you know,
it's called the Star Diver or Sun Diver.
Most people never heard of this guy. Like, he's just coming out of nowhere. Like, he's going to go on to interesting things.
Yeah, the you'd think he would be a little bit more broken up about his whole situation, but like that's just kind of like, that's Scotty, I guess, right?
Yeah, you know? that dude put himself in a fucking buffer janks for years and they found him later, right?
Yes.
He was in the buffer.
Well, I also
Star Diver, yes. Scotty's kind of an irreverent character, but not in a dick snarky way. But he's, it's like on the one hand, he's all just like, you think, I feel like he should be like, I feel like if I were in a situation, I'd be like, this guy is not taking things seriously enough. He doesn't sound like he's taking things seriously enough.
That's why he got bad grades.
But I know he is. I know he's doing the best that he knows how to do. And he's amazing and a miracle worker. So I can't be mad at him. But at the same time, it's like, can't you be a little more somber?
But, again, to reference the Tribbles.
But that works for his character.
With the Trouble with Tribbles, when they got rid of the Tribbles and they were all like, what'd you do with him? He's like, I gave him to the Klingons.
Yeah, right.
All right. How about this? Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we can talk more about Scotty and a few of the other things we haven't yet discussed, and conclude this
Maybe
episode.
A few of them.
Conclude our discussion of the season finale of Strange New Worlds, season 2. Hegemony. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, we have returned to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Right in front of my slipping spot.
Was it the sleeping spot?
Yeah.
Right in front of my sleeping spot.
Yes.
Waiting in front of my sleeping spot?
Yeah, it's not right in front of my
sleeping. Right in front of my sleeping spot.
I didn't mean to eavesdrop on you, but you were
on your secret conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know why I like that line so much.
Because you got a sleeping spot.
Yeah.
Fools those dumb lizards and most scanners.
I don't know if it was purposeful or not, but I liked the sort of parallel between Scotty saving himself in the shuttlecraft, escaping the Gorn attack, you know, destroyed the Star Diver. And that parallels what you were referencing, Jesse, way in the future when he's like hanging out at the Dyson Sphere and there's a problem and he's in that like little shuttlecraft type ship.
Pattern buffer.
And he stays in the pattern buffer.
So you are 100% fan of Scotty.
I really liked it. Now I do have, at the very least, I understand the critique about including Kirk, including Scotty, including Kirk as much as they had, adding Scotty. Mm-hmm. You already have Nurse Chapel. You already have Uhura. Christopher Pike is, of course, a legacy character.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of saying, like, it feels like they didn't really have to throw him in there. But
they're gonna
guy. But Martin Quinn did a really good job of it, and his character worked. It's just it was a little.
And he's actually Scottish. He's not a Canadian. Nah. War veteran.
It just felt a little superfluous in a certain way, but they worked it in well. It could have been anybody. It didn't have to be Scotty.
I personally,
it's like they're just trying to connect.
I personally still enjoy it.
Yeah, I did too.
And because, as you say, Dan, it's the high quality of the performance, the high quality of the writing and the characterization. That's what's making it okay for me. But yeah, I get it. I get why people can be a little put off by saying like, "Is this Strange New Worlds or is this like?" Just a soft reboot of TOS.
Right.
And then what makes people a little nervous about that is I think people, you know, in the world we live in now where commerce is such a driver of art, which that's nothing new, but what has been a bit of a shift is there used to be the people who were making money off of art still liked the art. They wanted to make good art.
Mm-hmm.
There's more and more people here nowadays where it's like, oh, we will do whatever we want to fucking do that makes money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's understandably might make fans of long-term franchises concerned, or at least trepidatious, if not paranoid, when it comes to what the future of their favorite television programs and movies and stuff are. And you can imagine Paramount executives being like, won't this be great?
Yeah.
Anson Mount's real fucking expensive because he's so goddamn fucking handsome.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to
be called handsome.
We don't want to have to pay him forever. So we'll retire his ass and we'll kind of slowly turn this into a reboot of TOS. And then we can do TOS stories. And I think the reason I think there's some people, and I might be one of the people
who are just floating out the idea of
I don't really want to see that.
Right.
I'm enjoying this because I wanted to see Christopher Pike. I wanted to see young Spock. I wanted to see some of these early adventures.
Maybe they're floating out the idea of a new TOS show or something.
Characters. Yeah. Well, and that's what I think is even if it's working in the episode as we're watching it, in some folks' minds, in the back of their minds, they're like, is this a harbinger? Because Nurse Chapel, we didn't know a lot about Nurse Chapel, so it's great to have her on the episode. We knew a fair amount of Uhura, but not a lot. And there's a lot of space to explore Uhura. As much as we know Spock, we knew there was so much fun stuff to potentially explore that they are exploring in this younger era of Spock, filling in space. But, you know, I know, do we need that for Scotty? Do we need that for McCoy? The Kirk we've seen, it's like, do I really want to watch a reboot of TOS? And people start getting nervous that that might be the way they're going. And who knows? Maybe they go that way and it's super fantastic because I am watching this episode and I'm loving it. This is a great fucking hour of television. It's really well produced, well acted, well written. All of that's great. It does undercut the enjoyment just ever so slightly when you're like, ah.
Agreed.
What's the plan? What's ultimately going to happen here?
Where is that going?
Yeah.
But that being said, I did like the Scotty stuff. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute. I thought they added a lot to the story. It made sense. In a sense,
Scotty's always a plus.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
The other thing, the other argument, and I think this is a valid argument. It's just sometimes it matters, sometimes it doesn't. It's come up a lot in the Star Wars universe, which is
Star Wars.
When you keep going back to the Skywalker family, you're like, this fucking galaxy far, far away is a real fucking small.
Yeah,
there's like three characters.
Yeah.
And Star Trek doesn't have that quite as an extreme problem.
We keep using tow cables to like knock down. They did that. That was like the video game. It's like gotta get the thing down with the tow cables.
Now we're gonna get a train with tow cables.
Yeah, it's like
we're
why
all
just,
sorts of vehicles with tow cables.
Why didn't they just call them anti-ADAT or ATSTs? I forget which one. Which one's the big one? The ATST?
ADAT.
ADAT's the big one.
Well. Okay. The point being that even if Star Trek is not quite,
it's got ADAT
as it doesn't quite have that problem yet. Or is an extremer version of that problem? You can see the seeds of it being like, okay, it's more Kirk,
you can feed the
and
feed.
More Spock, and more of this, as opposed to saying, hey, this is great. Now give us some new stuff. Now they're going to give us Section 31 movie. They're going to give us Starfleet Academy. Lower Decks is out there doing great stuff. Who knows? Some other stuff will come along. But yeah, new ideas. New ideas would be great. And this is a great opportunity to do them in this television program, because when you do the new ideas in this television program, it's fun.
Yeah. Well, they did focus more on Sam Kirk. They focused more on Sam Kirk this time than they didn't focus on James T. Kirk.
I like Sam Kirk. I like all the Sam Kirk stuff.
Sam's good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree that Sam.
He's a good Kirk.
I still. Thank you.
God, that was hard.
I really like that one. The delay did not bother me.
Chief O'Brien.
Although I understand for practical reasons, it is much better that they do have different actors. It would have been funny if Sam Kirk was played by the same person. If Sam and James T. Kirk were played by the same person.
I was thinking that.
Because that's what they did in the TOS. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they just put like a little silly mustache on Shatner. And that's why it's funny that the Sam Kirk has a silly mustache. Nobody else has the silly 1970s porn mustache.
Well, I thought it would be funny. It wouldn't really be that funny. But if they have Nurse Chapel in Number One being played by the same
person. Oh, yeah. That was another thing people brought up and discussed. Okay, Scotty, Pelia. It was a funny scene when Scotty and Pelia meet. Another student of Pelia's. I guess this is something we can get used to.
Yeah, well, she taught it that Jinx. What
the hell is this supposed to be?
she's great.
Professor.
It was funny because at first she was all like, he's my best student. And he was one of my
he's
best.
My number one
he's
student.
He's my number one student.
And then he gave this.
Well, he wasn't.
And he, yeah, right. So
worst grades. Best student, worst grades.
So when she said.
That's like me.
Yeah.
When, maybe you too, Dan. I don't remember.
They went back and forth depending on how I was feeling that semester.
But
I always got the whole like, he's really clever. He just doesn't apply himself. He just doesn't do the homework.
Yeah.
Yeah, because homework sucks.
Yeah, homework is fucking stupid.
When she
meanwhile,
said,
my kids, their school, they're like, no, we don't do homework. That's stupid.
Yeah,
oh, they got rid of that shit?
Yeah, because they're like, do you do homework for work? It's like, no.
No, you fucking come
I do
home.
Work at work.
Well, that's a good development. When she said he was like her best student, he gave this kind of look like, huh? And when I first saw it, I was like, why did he give that look? Because she's giving him a compliment. But I think he gave that look because he was more, because she followed up with the worst grades.
He was embarrassed.
Well, he was kind of like, you're not really saying I'm a good student. You're when she said you were a good student, he's like, that doesn't track. You always gave me shit all the time.
The face, I recognize the face because it's a face I'm sure I made because of exactly what I said, which is like the teachers who are all like, he's so clever if he just would just apply himself. And just like, yeah, I know. I get it. I know what's coming next. I think he knew what was about to come.
Okay. I read it differently. I read it as like.
He was always like, can I have like an extra like couple of weeks to do it. This is going to take an extra couple of weeks to do it. And then he would do it all like in 1 week.
He tried that at the academy. Like the whole deal with Scotty is the assignment should take 2 days. Yeah. He'd be like, it's going to take 4 weeks, and he'd get it done in 7 days.
I read it,
so he's still not very good at it.
The way I read it was
it's all marketing. He's just a marketing genius.
The way I read it was that she complimented him. He was confused because he knew he wasn't a good student. So he was like, why is she complimenting me? And then she followed it up with like, the business, and then he was like, okay, that makes more sense. But that was slightly different read on my part.
It's a perfectly justifiable position to take. What you and I can
do... Maybe he knew what was coming next, though, like
you
said.
It's rough when you run into, like, your old teachers, and you're like, oh, it's you.
We can resolve it through violence. We can have a physical challenge after the podcast
physical
is
challenge.
Done recording.
Is Mark Summers going to be there?
Yes, Mark Summers will be there. Oh, yeah. We'll be slimed.
It's going to be goo.
There'll be all sorts of slime.
Some giant bowl of cereal.
Whipped cream and...
Yeah,
big
double
bowl of
dare.
Cereal with milk.
Double dog dare you
big
to go
spoon.
On double dare, quadruple dare, mm-hmm. Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. You
physical
can't do that
on
television.
Well, they didn't have Sesame Street, they had Pinwheel.
Oh, that show was whack.
Yeah,
we've talked about that.
They didn't have Bert and Ernie, they had Plus and Minus. The two Muppets, the Muppet style things were Plus and Minus. And that's where the Simon, yeah, you know, my name is
Simon.
That's when Mike Myers did that sketch on SNL. That was originally
That was on Pinwheel?
That was a cartoon.
Yeah, that cartoon was weird, that Simon cartoon.
I thought that was on PBS.
Maybe it was too, but I always saw it on Pinwheel.
3-2-1 contact.
I could have sworn, unless I'm mixing up
you
my
might
fact.
Be,
the
I
Electric
don't remember,
Company.
Dude.
I
you
maybe
might be
I
right.
maybe I could. I,
it's all a blur.
You remember that episode
what about
of Mr.
Contact?
3-2-1
contact.
You remember that episode of Mr. Wizard where he had a robot?
Vaguely, yes.
You remember the episode of Mr. Wizard where he got some black trash bags and made a hot air balloon?
I remember
with
the
kid, and he's all like, check that shit out.
I remember when he made like a bowl of sugar explode or something.
I remember when he made a kid stand on their head and eat food and was
upside
like,
down. Yeah, and then like he's like, yes, you have muscles in your throat. I remember that too. Do you remember the time he put like
tried to fold a piece of paper 8 times?
Oh,
something?
Yeah.
Yeah, he put an egg between two barbell weights because showing that the egg is strong.
Yeah, and I totally like went to my mom and was like, check out, mom, you can't break an egg if you do this. And it went like in my hand. And didn't work. I did it wrong.
That shit came on like early on a Saturday.
Mr. Right? Wizard was all like, you're a dumbass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So I only watched it when I was like 6 or something. Wow.
Whenever Pike says pike out, I always think he's saying pie gow. I've mentioned this before.
Yes, and I always think he's saying he's going to pike out. Like, that's
pike
like,
out on
that's
you.
Like when you thought we were saying like cug on Earth.
We were talking about cunk on Earth.
Oh, yes. We were talking about cunk on Earth.
You're like, what are you guys talking about? You keep saying cug on Earth.
Yeah, what was it? Yeah, cug on Earth.
Cung on.
It was cung on.
It's like, cunk on Britain. I've heard of cunk on Earth, but you guys keep saying cunk on Earth.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, cunk on Earth. I don't know what the fuck that is.
To the audience, if you're not familiar with
it. I know what cunk on Earth is, but I kept hearing cunk on Earth.
Don't be listening to this podcast. Don't consume any form of entertainment until you have consumed Cunk on Earth, Cunk on Britain, Cunk on Shakespeare, some of the Cunk specials. You got to go watch all of that. Most of it's on YouTube and or Netflix. Yeah. Go check it out.
It's some hilarious business.
Depending on where you are located in the world, you can find it. If you can't find it, write us at feedback@discussstartrek.com and we might be able to find a way to hook you up. Everyone should be watching that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take very long. Watch it, then be done. Then you can come back to the podcast and listen to the last 15 minutes or so of the podcast.
You can listen to some Technotronic.
That's a reference. They
to cunk on Earth.
To cunk on Earth.
Cunk on Earth.
They did the thing.
I'm going to pike out. Do you think piking out is the same as going into a K-hole?
I don't even know what that... What does K-hole
mean? Ketamine hole?
Oh, I don't know.
Ketamine.
I don't know.
Or like breaking through the wall, like when you do too much DMT?
I don't know.
Or just the right amount of DMT, depending on your perspective, and you break through the wall into the other universe?
I don't know. Nothing about nothing.
And you take the... You see the little DMT gnome?
The little creatures? You guys have done DMT.
I have not done DMT.
Oh, okay.
No one's done DMT. Yeah. What are you talking about, Jesse? We just read books on DMT.
It was something with letters you guys were saying.
If you go to arrowwid.com or .org, you can read other people's experiences with things like DMT or DXM.
I never did any of that stuff.
Or AMT.
I wasn't there with
or
you, so
ATM or FBI, CIA, CYA. These are all things you can read about.
CYA.
Yes. You can read a good Arrowwood
MR Ducks.
Arrowwood story about CYA.
CM Wang.
Heavy dose of CYA.
I'm so confused. They did
Pike hole.
They did the thing.
Pike out.
They did the thing where Pike was like, where he was. Where
I'm piking out, man.
When Una was like, you want to cross the line? And Pike was like, which is why he's like, I'm not This is why I'm not ordering any of you to join this mission. I'll take volunteers, but I'll go alone if I have to. And they did this recently in a Star Trek episode, and they do this commonly in just all sci-fi, all sort of stuff, where it's like, I can't make you go on this mission. I'll do it myself if I have to.
Right.
I'll take volunteers.
And everybody volunteers. And everyone's like, well, I'm going, and I'm going. It's like, no, you have to stay here.
Yeah, they should have it where like everyone says yes, but then one person's like, nah, I'll just hang back. And then everyone else is like, yeah, I think I'm going to hang back too.
Do you think that happened during the Donner Party, where like, when nobody had eaten anybody yet, and then the one guy was all like, look, nobody's got to join me. I'll do it by myself if I have to. I'm just going to eat this guy over
here. They're just waiting to see who would cross the line first.
And then everyone's like, nope, you make a good point. We'll join you. And then they all just start chowing down
on
some cold human flesh.
They just didn't want to be the first ones. They were like, they just want to know someone go out on the limb and be like, yeah, we should do
this. It's tricky to eat loved ones, I'd imagine.
I could only imagine.
At the start, non-loved ones, strangers. All right.
Still weird.
But it's easy to eat people that you hate.
It's easy to eat people that you hate podcast.
I don't know if it'd be easier to eat somebody you hate.
It's easy to eat people that you hate podcast.
It's got long pig.
Long pig.
Long pig.
Oh, that's human.
Papua New Guinea phrase, or, you know, certainly a phrase that exists out there for human meat, because human meat apparently is tastes very similar to pork.
I imagine it does. We are very they say that the humans and pigs have a similar anatomy. You know,
our hearts are about the same size,
so we're basically pig meat.
They said long pig
and then
on that Sabrina.
Pigs have the weird penises.
And do you remember when Willow, when everyone turned into pigs? Like
I remember. Not in, everyone. I remember in Spirited Away when the parents turned into pigs.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is humans are always turning into pigs in
that
media.
Food they were eating was so good,
because like pigs are like humans. And
I remember
human,
when
was it
Rocksteady or Bebop who was
see,
the pig?
To see a human look like a pig is like a really
one of them was like a rhinoceros.
It's like
which one was?
It's not quite an uncanny valley thing, but it is kind of like pigs are like us. Now
Bebop
that,
was the pig,
and so like
the warthog.
So like if you have
uncanny valley,
Rocksteady makes me think of a rhino.
If you have a person looking like a wolf, it's scary, but it's not that it's unsettling for a different reason. But when a person looks like a pig, it's really unsettling because we're like pigs, and so when we look like a pig, it's almost like an uncanny valley. Thing. Not quite.
What about a cat?
But, yeah, that's cute when people look like cats.
New Hampshire?
Yep. When Pike said...
What about beavers?
Beaver D's nuts.
Do you have any wood?
That was the Dave Coulier bit, wasn't
it? Cut it out.
I believe it was a...
When Pike said, well, I was thinking we might need the three of you along with your particular skill sets here to keep us out of war with the Gorn. I can't hear that. Anything
without,
about particular...
Yeah, with the Liam Neeson.
I can't hear that.
Taken.
Without, yeah, Taken.
Got a particular set of skills.
Movie. Oh, and they figured out how to kill Gorn now, apparently. They can detect and kill Gorn now because they couldn't do that before.
Oh, the settings, yeah.
They just kind of...
She was all like, the settings worked.
They updated their firmware.
They fixed the plot so they could get Gorn now.
She was like,
That was convenient.
Yeah, it was convenient. Freeze grenades. Yeah, it was pretty convenient.
And I did like, just like, oh, that'll kill. That's not very good for a cold-blooded creature. It was a Dr. Mbega. It was like, that shit'll kill anyone.
Yeah, right.
What are you talking about?
Right.
That's crazy. It's liquid nitrogen. Come on.
So in this episode...
It'll freeze your balls, right?
We didn't get to see them use it. I hope we get to see them use it in the next episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Chekhov's
gun. They have to. They don't introduce... Like,
Chekhov's got to be like a teenager.
Frosty.
If there's something we've learned...
There was a Frosty Jeffries, too.
Well, that was because it was open to space.
If we learn anything from James Bond movies, it's that when they introduce the gadget, we have to see it like once, maybe, you know, and that's probably about it. Maybe twice, but we have to see it at least once. So we're gonna see a freeze.
I mean, it's not only James Bond; it's called Chekhov's gun for a reason. You know, you show a gun in the first act, it has to be fired in the third act.
Yeah, but James Bond always
Chekhov's
made
not
it
gonna
most,
be in this one. For a while.
Chekhov is like a teenager at this.
But
point.
But James Bond made it most famous for our latest Pop Generation,
probably. I think that's a fair point.
In this episode, I liked... So I want to summate the things I liked. The chapel beaming...
summate. Maybe a masturbate.
The chapel beaming away at the beginning. We mentioned that. The Gorn hunter ship zapping in when that Gorn like ship just like the hunter ship... That's always fun to see. Boop. It's always fun to see ships zap in.
Zap it right in.
Scotty's shuttle careening through.
Yeah, looking like the Wicked Witch. Yeah, the saucer. Both the saucer shot of when it's broken and when it's flying towards the planet,
When it smashes into the tower. The part you didn't see.
That part I didn't see.
You gotta go
Although,
check it out.
I would
because it looks super awesome.
They had a lot of witches in Scotland.
So there was a shot that I wish they lingered on longer. It was when they were showing
linger longer. Do you remember linger longer?
It was a shot when they
Isn't that a cream you put on your wee wee?
This is a shot.
Linger longer.
If you've got a fast wee-wee, you put the cream on. The linger longer. If you've got a speedy wee wee,
I want slow.
I think we're losing focus. I think that's too what's fast. Happening. I think we were focused at the start.
Longer.
We're starting to lose focus. I was never focused.
I don't know if it was a brand name. I think it might have been a brand name.
So at the when they were showing the town on fire in the dark, and in the background there are these two Gorn towers with this green smoke. Yeah, if you remember that shot, I wanted them to linger longer on that because I wanted to see those two towers with the green.
I thought it was just one tower.
Linger longer
because they only smashed down one tower,
but it looked.
You
like
wanted
two
to
towers.
Linger longer on the well, lime
wasn't
green.
Wasn't that tower on the dark? Weren't they saying that was on the dark side of the planet?
Well, just at the moment because of the orbit, I guess.
I thought it was. I was confused, and they didn't have photo technology that could photograph things on dark sides of things. You'd think they'd have that kind of photo.
Well, because
technology.
Of the thing was blocking their scans. The tower was blocking their scans.
No, because it was on the dark side, so they couldn't see it. So
they
why didn't they just
find their ass with the flashlight?
There's no way they could have seen it in the dark. Are you just saying it was just because it was on the opposite side that was blocking
I was just
them?
It was nighttime. And it was blocking
and
the
I'm
sensors.
Saying, and I'm saying the nighttime shouldn't have had an effect. That shouldn't have had any effect on
you
their...
You can't see anything in the dark.
But their photos, they can take different kinds of photos that detect different sort of lights, like different... They
yeah,
can,
but it's dark. You know, it's no. still a limit.
Look, have you ever, like, used your...
They said the scanning thing
Have you ever
work.
Used your Google Photoshop thing and then...
The night
side? Shot? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's like a proprietary Google algorithm. They don't have night
this
sight
This is
on
hundreds of
on
years
Starfleet
in the future.
Ships.
They can totally
hey,
do that.
Yeah, but Disney keeps extending copyrights and patents.
And look... If
that
they,
planet was wacky. They probably didn't have a lot of
at minimum. At minimum, they could have used some kind of infrared like photos. They could have done that. I think they could have seen something on that side of the planet. It's not a big deal. But
the best part about all this.
But wait, are you saying
is that you didn't even see the part where the actual thing gets smashed down? So the thing you want to see, they have it, but you didn't see it.
Well, I
were taking furious notes at the time. You were looking down.
I did see it. I just didn't remember it. Which is that a different
that's
thing?
Potentially more concerning.
So
because it was like an epic, beautiful
so
shot.
So the way I thought it was is at the beginning is they were showing the town and that they were saying that the Gorn structure was on the opposite side of the planet, but it wasn't. It was like
no,
right
was,
next.
No, they
like,
said it was outside of town because they said, "Look, here's a map of the town, and there's nothing listed there," so they knew.
Then
that.
I guess. I guess when they said dark side of the planet, I guess they just meant it was in the wrong time of day. So the town was on the dark side of the planet too.
Yeah,
why didn't they see the structure from the start though?
Okay.
They didn't see the structure from the start and they should have.
All right. Let's forget about
see,
all that
I'm
for a
right.
second.
I'm
they were
right.
getting jammed, dude.
What I do agree with you, Dan, is that they've used an archaic and misleading term that nobody should ever use. It's based off of the dark side of the moon, which there is no dark side of the moon. The moon, the Earth's moon, Luna, is tidally locked to the moon, so there's always one face facing us, but it rotates with the Earth and is frequently lit up by the sun on the other side. Mm-hmm. There is no dark side to the moon. Now, it's sometimes dark on that side of the moon, but it's not always dark on that side of the moon.
Yeah, it's just, to us, it is.
And I think that by using that term, they create that implication on this planet as well, as opposed to, no, that it's just it's nighttime.
Then if
it's
it was,
and they just couldn't see
it
at night.
It's just the side you can't see.
And they don't got their magic rays.
If the Gorn structure was next to the town, then they should have seen it earlier then. I that's why I thought it was on the other side, because like that's why they didn't see it before. Why didn't they see it like right?
I don't know.
It's not clear to me.
Something else that Pink Floyd has ruined.
Preach on, Jesse. Preach else. On.
Jesse's got a whole list.
Anyway,
it's got Jesse's list of reasons why Pink Floyd has ruined things.
Whoa,
Jesse's got a list of things Pink Floyd has ruined. There we go. That's what it was.
When Chapel wakes up and looks out the window, we discussed it. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, great scene. Yeah,
when they float out of the ship, but even that was pretty cool. That whole scene.
It was cheesy but cute cheesy.
Yeah, I liked it. I was it hit me right. It hit me right in the cheese spot where I'm like, this is cheesy, but it's like my kind
Dan's
of cheesy.
Pointing at his chest, which is he's implanted whole chunks.
Cheese.
Whole chunks of
that's
a variety
what my
of cheeses.
That's my heart is actually
he just
cheese.
Stuffed the cavity around his heart has filled with
Gruyere.
Blue cheese.
Would you call it schlocky? Would you call it schlocky? Maybe
Camembert.
That's. Would you call it schlocky?
Schlocky.
The whole.
I don't call it schlocky.
It was a little schlocky,
but in a nice way. Yeah,
not
in
a bad
way.
Yeah. I also liked the whole. You know, they reference zombie movies, and then they do have. Even though it's very brief and they don't really keep it up, but they do have the basic zombie setup. Of small town, people mm-hmm. hole up in establishments
like
in the town,
diner.
The barbershop and the other place and the restaurant.
Barbershop
and stuff.
Now.
Yeah. And then they fight there. You know, it's set up to be like, we're going to fight off the monsters or zombies. Now they don't, end
they
up,
were drinking
they don't
tons
end up actually,
of coffee,
they don't do that. Right. Mm-hmm. The other thing we get here, which we haven't had in a long time, is a season-ending cliffhanger
they all had pie in
to be continued. Captain Pike being all like, I'm going to shit my fucking pants. And I loved it because it wasn't like, like in Best of Both Worlds, when Riker is all like, he's all like, you know, he's all like, fire, you know, fire. And he's like looking all stern. Here, it's like, Pike is like, whoa, what the fuck are we going to do?
Yeah, I liked how he was totally at a loss. Like,
He doesn't usually look like that.
He looked like he was going to break down for a second. No, he's like, I don't know what the fuck.
Like, he's
there.
Like, they stole my crew, and they're with the horrible Gorn monsters, but we clearly are not, there's no way we can help them by fighting.
He was standing there for almost 30-second viewer time, which was probably longer in their time, because it was, or maybe shorter, I don't know, whatever.
Everyone was like, what the fuck?
Hey, dude.
Now,
they're like, why is Daddy so scared?
What's the word, dude?
Now, when
Daddy's scared, and it's scaring me.
Now, when
Daddy doesn't know what to do.
I knew it was going to end on a cliffhanger, because it was pretty obvious that it was going to.
Yeah, at that point
but
in the episode.
At the same time, I guess we can... We know that they're going to get into a battle. He didn't give his answer that he was going to go on. We don't
know.
Not
necessarily.
So they might run away.
They have to get out. I think they have to leave.
I kind of wished that they...
There's a whole bunch of Gorn ships.
Okay, they have to leave. Then they come back.
I think they're outgunned.
I kind of wished, and maybe I'm totally off base. I kind of wish he gave the command and then they cut to credits.
I kind of wish that too. I kind of wish he was like, retreat.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just trying to leave it open.
I know, but maybe they don't know yet or something.
Yeah, because that's the same thing they did with Best of Both Worlds. They didn't have an ending to that.
It was a great ending, but like... But at the same time, I was a little like, come on, man. I just give us that.
Well,
you know?
Now because of the writer's strike and the actor's strike and stuff, of course, it's going to be potentially quite a long time because we have evil producers who don't want to give people money for producing art.
Capitalism.
But I was part of the thing that helped me enjoy this episode is I think I was at least somewhat mollified.
Mollified?
No, with the whole Captain Patel business, because my fear... Last week I mentioned this. My fear going into this was that they had laid down all the literary clues to killing Patel, and they didn't do that. Now they put her in danger, but I was afraid they were going to fridge her. And the term I realized that not everyone's familiar with this phrase. It's the idea.
Put her on ice.
It's a term that refers to you generally have a male protagonist and then you give them either a female partner, or it often happens to people like LGBT characters where to generate drama, you murder their spouse to put them in and be like, oh, I'm all sad now because my spouse or partner or whatever. And it's a term called, it's referred to as fridging. And it happens a lot to traditionally marginalized people to benefit the dramatic capacity of a strong white male character. It's very commonly, that's the setup. Not only that, and that's what we potentially had here. My hope was that the writers, being sophisticated and clever and aware of this type of issue, were actually playing with that, and they were laying those clues down to trick us. And I'm now more confident that that's the case here, because they've put the egg in her, and now the literary thing says you have to save her.
So when
you have to find a way to save her.
When the Gorn baby came in and then he ran away,
they got a stasis field.
For a second, they had a
you thought she was a robot?
We also need a stasis field.
For a quick second, I was like,
she's a robot.
I'm answering. For a quick second, I was thinking in my head, the reason the Gorn baby's running away is because she's a Gorn.
Yeah, and then I was like, she's a Gorn in disguise.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. They're so,
Gorny
they
in disguise.
Always end up being all tricky.
Because it wasn't clear why it ran away. I know it ran away because she was already impregnated. Yeah. So
now we know that.
But like,
they established that in season one.
But it could have gone for Pike or Scotty. Why did it not go for one of them?
Maybe because they were hanging out with her and he was like, hey, okay, I'm not going to mess with your shit.
Yeah, maybe his plan got foiled, so he was like, this wasn't what I expected, so he ran away. I
would
know.
Have shot that shit's face.
Yeah,
shoot
too.
The youngling in the face.
When they were, I thought the idea about crashing the debris into the planet, I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah,
like the
good.
Way
totally.
I thought that was, good, that was a clever good. Way to do it.
Yeah. That's some Star Wars.
Again, going back to that they didn't,
actually, I was
that cleverness
that.
Was lacking in the Spock bit, but that's what I like. I like when Star Trek comes up with some cool plans. They're presented with a set of constraints, and then they find clever, intelligent ways to get around those constraints using the skill sets of everyone involved. That's your classic Star Trek story, and they did that here with Kirk, Sam Kirk, and Uhura, and Pelia, and Scott. Like, everyone was fucking like firing on all cylinders and helping out to solve these issues.
The Gorn, the thing about the Gorn, so what happens is solar flares occur and it attracts the Gorn like a swarm of insects or whatever. But they weren't clear on what the Gorn like about the solar flare. As far as we know,
they don't know yet. I think they're just clearly there seems to be some connection.
But as far as we know, maybe we'll find out more later. But as far as we know, so far the only benefit the Gorn are getting out of the situation is this civilization on the planet. That's the real benefit. So, but if they were going after the solar flare, then this, what is it, the people, the civilization, just a nice bonus? Because even Scotty was like, it's unusual, or it was S. Kirk or Scotty was like,
coronal mass ejection.
It's like really unusual. So this
particular version of it was a lot of coronal mass ejection.
And so it's pretty coincidental that it happened right next to the civilization. But they didn't go there for the civilization. They went there for a different reason. The civilization is a bonus. We don't know what they like from that thing.
We can only guess.
Is it from the same star?
No, it was from the next star over. And so my guess is...
But one star was having multiple...
Yeah. It was a huge coincidence, though, that this...
I don't see why you're calling it a coincidence, because my guess is that it's going to turn out to be like, okay, a star does this, and then the Gorn just decide, okay, this area is now ours.
Well, no,
and they couldn't care less, people on it, no, not people I know. On it. They're and just then, like, this is just now our territory.
No, exactly. I'm not saying that's a coincidence. What's a coincidence is that there was any civilizations that happened to be around when this thing occurred. It just seems kind of like...
I don't know if that's a coincidence, because there's probably lots of planets.
Space is fucking big.
Yeah, but they killed the other ship too. There's ships all over. This is Star Trek. Everyone's like tooling around, studying stars.
Midwest planet. These things are
unusual. These kinds of coronal mass injections are unusual.
It's not a coincidence to say like, okay, they've decided, okay, we've created a new circle. This circle
that's not
is ours.
That's not the coincidence.
And then anybody in there, we're getting rid of.
No, that's not the coincidence. You're saying
it's a coincidence that people live in that area. Why is that?
Because space is fucking big, and it's coincidental that there happens to be a civilization right near it.
In technical terms, I agree with you. In dramatic terms, vehemently disagree.
Okay,
with
now this is the argument of dramatic versus technical, and which matters more in any given situation. And we could argue that one to death.
What I'm saying is you could argue it's a coincidence that Kirk happens to be on the starship at the same time as other people.
No, but that's why we discuss certain things.
I don't think this is too coincidental. To me,
the discussion. Of course, there's a lot of things that, like, that for dramatic purposes, it's suspension of disbelief is fine. I'm saying, like, when some of these points come up, sometimes what comes into my head is like, is this worth mentioning as too much of a stretch for reality? Yeah. Like, can I not suspend disbelief enough for this?
And from that perspective, no, I don't think this is too much, because I don't find it unusual for somebody to be like, all right,
to me, it was pushing it a little, but you disagree, and that's fine.
It's like
that's all you need to know.
In the Cardassians are like, okay, this is our peace treaty line, and it happens to have some Maquis people on one side.
Well, of course, their peace treaty line is going to be around civilizations, because they're a civilization. They're going to want to have be near other civilizations.
It doesn't have to be necessary.
We're talking about a celestial event that has no.
All right. I don't think it's
that has no purpose.
I don't think it's
good. No, it just happens.
We'll add it to our list. We're having a physical altercation after this episode. We'll add it to the list. Clear, we'll have to have a second round.
To clear, Patrick thinks it's not too coincidental. I think it's pushing it. That's where we're at. That's what does position. Jesse think?
I think you guys better get some gloves.
Okay, fair enough.
I think we've discussed pretty much all the major
bits. This is the
bits.
Kind of discussion that we can have all night about everything, and it's tedious too. So,
Write in at feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. Write it actually. Well, we'll make a new email address. Tedious at itsgotstartrek.com.
Sometimes it's not tedious though, but sometimes it is.
It's all part of the fun.
Are we going to sum up?
I mean, there's not much to sum up. It's a to be continued, so we don't know how it ends. We'll have to wait until next season.
I guess the only two, I have two odds and ends. One was like the reference to the zombie movies, and they say when you dress up like the zombies, you don't go noticed. I didn't know that was a zombie movie trope. I have seen it happen in The Walking Dead, Well, in The Walking Dead, they have it where you like pretending to be a zombie and they mistake you for a zombie. But I have not seen that in other zombie movies. I'm not saying it hasn't.
I think that goes back to some of the Romero things. This has been a couple times where you're like,
and I believe it. I just don't have a particular instance in my head that I can refer to. So I'm kind of interested to know which ones.
Let us know. Honestly, seriously, let us know. Feedback at discussstartrek.com. We would like to Our zombie movie lore is probably somewhat lacking on this.
I also have to say the scene where Ortega's was flying towards the planet and everyone's all freaking out.
Yeah, it was great.
And
yeah.
she and it shoots to her and she has this big smile on her face. That scene fantastic. Could have been kind of cheesy, but they pulled it off perfectly.
It
like,
fits the character
because it does. And like I said, like the execution somehow is perfect. Like everyone's like, and she's got this huge smile. And like I said, it could have failed, but it was awesome. I thought it was perfect.
And here's hoping next season they give Ortega's even more to do.
Right.
I think they will. It's a character that is underutilized, but
absolutely,
when they do utilize her, she's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, Hegemony was a very good episode.
You heard of me?
I certainly feel the same way.
Can't wait to see the conclusion some point in the very distant future.
I love a crazy theory.
Now, what's coming up? Well,
nobody knows.
No, we know a little bit. On September 7th is nobody when knows. Lower Decks Season 4 starts. So right after that, we're going to start podcasting, covering week-to-week coverage on Lower Decks Season 4. There are 3 weeks in between now and then. And so during those 3 weeks, we will go back to Dan's algorithm, and for folks who don't know, for newer listeners, Dan has developed a podcast topic selection algorithm, and it takes the previous week's podcast and ingests it, and based on that, spits out a list of Star Trek episodes for us to watch. We weed out the ones that we've already done because for some reason it always comes up with past tense.
Part two.
And we filter it by which TV series we haven't done in a while.
My theory is DS9 is very conversational, much like a podcast, which is why it keeps coming back with DS9.
It could be.
But I don't know.
And speaking of Deep Space Nine, we are due to do a Deep Space Nine.
Do. You said
we haven't done a Deep Space Nine in a while, so possibility next week we'll be talking about Deep Space Nine.
One of the,
I think it'll be past tense.
One of the listeners that wrote an audio submission, Mr. David Moody, to us, I remember way back in the algorithm, he had made a request to, like, there was some, I think it was some kind of like court case or some.
Oh yeah, like ingest like an article or like a legal brief or something
that's a good idea.
And I didn't do that, but I was thinking about like I kind of want.
We should do that.
So I wonder if he has any suggestions.
All right.
He should give us some.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know what we should
set us straight.
And then that applies to anybody. You can just send in, feedback at ScottStarTrek.com or social media at ScottStarTrek, all over the social media. Let us know what other things we should ingest into Dan's algorithm and see what Star Trek episodes it tells us to watch. Because while we can put anything into the algorithm, it can only output Star Trek episodes.
We can only put so much in it.
There's physically no way to have it do anything other than put it out, because there's a lot of hard wiring.
There's a limit to how much you can put
in. Dan's got like a pegboard with a bunch of wires
and
stuff.
I had to do some soldering.
Yeah.
You know.
Old school style. None of that punch card bullshit, like just actual hard-wired logic circuits.
Hard-wired.
All right, Gorn porn. Yes, but social media, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. You know where to find us. Go follow us, sign up. That was a good episode 201. We'll continue to do these for a little bit. And so until next week, we don't know what we're watching. But yeah, follow us and find out.
Walked into my gone trap then.
We'll let you know ahead of time. But otherwise, we look forward to having a discussion of something Star Trek sometime next week. No, it'll be Monday next week. Don't worry.
Past tense.
Chief O'Brien.
Part two.
We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You're not gone.
Obviously.
You shouldn't have walked into my gone trap then.